So, friends, shall we begin? And hope there's an organist here. Sing from Psalter 119. 119, and sing all six stanzas. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the godless race, and what follows in 119, all six stanzas. I will read a portion from the book of Psalms, and this from Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 11. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So far the scripture. Let us first ask the Lord for his presence and help. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou hast given us that we could come together in this evening in a Bible class, and that we again may continue to study one of those gifts to the church of later times in that well-known book of the Pilgrim's Progress, where thou hast used a vessel that was a vessel that had been a vessel of dishonor, but which thou had made a vessel to thy honor, where thou hast used him while he was in the prison to write this book for all ages also to come. And Lord, then we will not try to just follow the history, the story, the allegory, but also to draw some lessons from this story, which we believe are timely lessons, are fitting lessons also for today. Because, Lord, thy church is in a weak condition. Thou hast the church. There is a remnant. There are a people who may know the joyful sound. And there are also others who have no rest anymore in the world, and whose rest has been removed, but who do not know where to go. Lord, they know one thing, that they cannot return to that city of destruction. But where to go? Oh, there has been a way has been shown to them. They have been directed that it must go to that light that I saw, that light of thy word, that light of the gospel, but where that narrow gate was still so hidden, that they did not see yet. That person who is the way, who is that gate, is still hidden for them. But we have heard how the evangelist yet pointed to him, and did not say that's too early, or he doesn't understand it yet, but that it was his work to point to that narrow gate. But how he then also spoke further, understanding that pilgrim did not see it, could not perceive it, then he pointed to that light, to that word that speaks of him, to the word of grace that speaks of a way of salvation outside of ourselves. Though the person was hidden, there was a direction unto him. And Lord, where we have heard how pilgrim started out his journey, and I want to listen to the cries of his wife and children, but cried out, life, life, life eternal, and began to run for his life's sake. O Lord, that I also may give, that it may be found amongst us, that there were, that there might be people who could identify with that pilgrim, though not feeling a pilgrim themselves, but could identify with his terror, with his fears, but also with his resolution to leave that city and to unconditionally leave behind all what he had clung to before. And so, who are on the way and they don't know where the end will be. All they live, as it were, in between. They don't know yet what that narrow gate is. They don't know yet where that journey will end, but there's something has changed in their life. And Lord, and we ask thee, may there be instruction for them too tonight. But Lord, also for thy living church, because all there is so much deadness, coldness, so much of the flesh, which seems to have the upper hand in the life of thy children. All the costly, the precious stones, that precious people of God, that fine gold that has become dim, and there is so little light upon the candlestick, and so little that attracts also the unconverted, or that would make him jealous, or that at least tries to make him jealous, and that gives a good testimony of thy kingdom, that gives a good report of Canaan, and not an evil report. O Lord, will thou pour thy spirit upon all flesh, and will thou give that there may be a reviving work of the Holy Ghost, so that thy people again may be witnesses in all humility and simplicity, but that it might be a people that thou hast formed unto thyself, who would show forth thy praises. Lord, may there be some instruction then this evening, and perhaps some questions, which also may give food for thought and for further explanation, and that so this evening, this hour together might be profitable for those who are here with us together. Lord, help us to do this work in this evening, to lead this class, and may it be to the glory of thy name, to the welfare of thy church, to the instruction of thy people, but also to the coming of thy kingdom. Remember all thy servants, also the students, also in our midst. Remember, Lord, in all the labors, and give the unction of the Spirit and the teaching from on high. Hear us, Lord, be with the sick and the afflicted, with her who is afflicted with that serious disease. We commend her unto thee and unto thy care. O great physician, have mercy upon her. Be with the needy ones, the lonely ones, widows and widowers, and all who are unable to come also in this evening. Lord, will thou show that thou hast more than one blessing, and that thou can also give a blessing when we are unable to be here. Lord, remember us then with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and hear us. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Dear friends, I read a portion for you from Psalm 32, and I think this psalm will be applicable also to the subject of this evening. There we have one whose sins have been uncovered and who has been made honest before the Lord, but also one who needs a teacher. As we read in verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We will hope to hear tonight how necessary that instruction is for that pilgrim on the way, for all of us, if it is well with us. Will it be well with us? And also how he has to meet people who are like verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, who are obstinate. And we hope to hear something about it in this evening when we continue our lesson about the topic, thank you, about the Pilgrim's Progress. We have seen, we have left him the last time as one who fled the city, could not stay any longer, received some direction from the evangelist that pointed out that there was a narrow gate and that he had to look at that, and that when he would come there, then there would be a person who would give him direction in regard to the way that he had to continue. But how that pilgrim did not see that narrow gate, he could not detect it, his eye was not able to discern it, but how he then was pointed to a light, that light of the Word, the light of the Gospel, and then he run. And when his wife and children cried to try to keep him back from fleeing, and to make him to return, then he put his fingers in his ears and he cried out, life, life, eternal life. And so we see him on the way to the celestial city, but that is yet far away from him. And then we continue. We know the history. I'm not going to do that into detail. By the way, if you have done some reading, that is always good, or to refresh what you have read maybe several times before. We just like to focus on a few aspects of that history and see whether there is some instruction in for today. As soon as he begins to run, there are neighbors which open the door, come outside when they see him run, and the reactions are different. Some are laughing, what a foolish man, burden on his back, and running like somebody is behind him, don't understand it, they laugh. And others try to scare him and shout a lot and try to make him upset, and others call him and say, "You come back and don't do that now and stay with us," So the reactions are varied and different. But one thing we must say, the neighbors know that something is happening there with that man. They know that. They are very much aware of the fact that something mysterious, something that they cannot understand, has taken place in the heart or in the mind. They don't know what it is, but in the life of this man, which was their neighbor. So they come outside and the reactions are different, but they know of it. You know, it's not so as with some who speak of grace and something that has happened in their life, and they travel for maybe hundreds of miles to tell their conversion, but their wife, their children, their people on the job, or in school, their neighbors, everyone who comes on their path, has never noticed anything. Is not, or are they are not aware of it. No, it is not so with pilgrim. And if it is well, it will also not be so with us. They will be aware of it. And the reactions may differ, but they will see that something begins to make separation between them and that concerned pilgrim. And they may laugh, they may ridicule, they may try to scare him, they may try to hold him back, but at least they know it. Does your neighbor, does your wife, do your children know that something took place in your life? And then I'm not speaking about big things, but does that happen in a corner? Does that stay hidden when the Lord leads somebody after great distress out of that city and begins to point him to that word, to that light, and he begins to flee, and there's a little hope in his heart, though there's much fear and terror, but he says, life, life, eternal life, would that be hidden for others? If the course of your life has changed, if your faith is from now on as traveling toward Jerusalem, that's the first lesson. Question. Two of the neighbors, they don't leave it with laughing and trying to scare him or call him, but they get after him. And they resolve to bring him back at all costs. One's name is Obstinate, the other's name is Pliable. Obstinate was born in the city of destruction. His father's name was quite old already when they married, but his father's name, now an old man, is Sparderon. His mother's name is Spoil the Child. So you can understand what kind of man that has become. You know, as a child already, if he didn't get his way, he'd be crying that he could hear it streets away from the house. And then they gave in, and they let him do it, and they spoiled him. And so he has grown up to a man who never says, I don't know it, or never admits that he has been wrong, who is always right, and who is very set in his ways, and is obstinate. This man is firmly determined to get this pilgrim back. He is like Psalm 32. He's like a horse or as the mule which have no understanding. And he's also Pliable. Pliable is different, has a different character, is much more easygoing, is not so harsh, is a man with, I would say, an emotional life. It is easily stirred. He's a man who is easily influenced. He is soon impressed. And he is impressed. That will come out soon. For when Obstinate begins to talk to a pilgrim and says, come, our pilgrim says to the two men, what are you following me for? And they say, well, we want to make you, to urge you at least, to return and to live with us again. And then Christian, as he is called now, says Christian, not a name. He doesn't know the Christ yet, but he's called Christian. He's on the way. There's the drawing work of Christ. It led him out of that city and makes him to go in that unknown way to that hidden Christ, to that hidden gate. And then he says, no, I cannot go back, because that city where you live and where I live, that will soon be burned, that will soon be turned upside down, it will be destroyed. So I have to, and please, you should also flee from it. And he doesn't leave it with that, with a warning. He is not one-sided, but very remarkable that he also begins to try to allure them. He says, because the city where I go, when Obstinate says, no, I will not leave that city, because then I have to leave my friends and my convenience and the pleasures and the comforts of that city. I cannot do that. Oh, then Christian says, but where I am going, the joy that will be obtained there, the company that will be there, oh, that's much better, that's much more joyful, that's much more delightful than all that you can find in the city of destruction. So what does he do? He gives a very good report of a city that he has never seen yet, of something that he stands outside of it for himself yet, but he speaks of the goodness of the riches, of the beauty, of the pleasantness of the kingdom of God. And so he tries to allure those two men. But Obstinate says, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to leave my friends behind. And he even begins to make fun of him. He says, what do you find there then? Well, he says, an inheritance is there. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verse 4. I seek an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away. And then Obstinate shakes his head. He thinks Christian or the man is not in his right mind. He is sick. And he says it too. He says, you are a fool. You think that your foolishness, your mind is not working rightly. But you're thinking, your imagination, that you're wiser than all the wise men and seven wise men. But you are not. Come, he says to Pliable. Let's go back. Let him go then. But then Christian again speaks. And he says, he puts his hand on the shoulder of Obstinate. Oh, he says, no, Obstinate, don't say that now to Pliable. Don't try to keep him back from going with me. Don't try, but let you both come. You're still place. And again he tries to win him over for the way, the unknown way, that he is going himself. And again, friends, it is not only the neighbors who know that something has happened, but you see in the life of Christian something that he didn't have before. Love. Love to the souls of others. Even love to one who mocked him. Love to one who said that he was a fool. Love to one who obstinately rejected him, who knew everything better. But he puts his hand on his shoulder and he says, please, don't talk that way. But come with me, both of you. There's place. Let's go along to that one beautiful place. And let us seek to get there where we can be happy in truth. And I thought while reading that, how weak is the condition of the church, also the living church. How little is there of this practice of this love in our lives. How little, how few times do we put the hand on the shoulder of one who mocks us. Imagine that somebody here in the street or so, when you come out of church would laugh and say, there they are, that people. And I would scold you, I would mock with you, and ridicule you, and with me. Would I go up to the man, put our hand on his shoulder, say, friend, come, go with us. Do like we. There is yet place. Pliable is impressed. He is so impressed that he even begins to talk to Obstinate and says, don't make fun of him. Christian is a good man. And if what he says is true, I go with him. If he's not convinced, but you never know. He is impressed. His heart is not inclined, but he feels a certain drawing. And after a while he says, I will go with you, friend. Friend, do you know the way to the place you seek? Do you know where we have to go then? We go together. And Christian says, yes, I know. I know at least this. Evangelists show me that beyond this plain, at the end of it, there will be a narrow gate, and there someone will tell me where I have to go. And soon they are talking together, nicely talking. That's nice for Christian that he has some company now. Seems to have some blessing already on his work. And the man next to him listens with open mouth. When he's asking all kinds of questions, what is there then at the end of the road? What can you find there? What treasures are there? The Christian tells him about the place where they are going, about that eternal kingdom there is, and that there are crowns of glory for those who may arrive there, that there will be no sorrow and no crying, and that there will be heavenly companions. Some were martyrs before, that's true. They were cut to pieces. They were burned in the fire. They had been drowned. But now they are in that heavenly company in the heaven. Oh, and Pliable listens with open mouth. And he becomes so impressed. He comes and says, can we go a little faster, a little quicker? You are going so slow, man. Come, let's hurry. Then we will soon be there. I love it, what I hear. I like to be there. Let's go fast. That other city doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Let's go on fast. Christian shakes his head. He said, no, I can't go quicker. I have a burden on my back. And that weighs so much that makes me go slowly. Other here, hold. Also can go but slowly. How come the Pliable could go much quicker? That he would take a few steps, he thought, and he would soon be there. Why didn't he have trouble with the burden? Well, he had no knowledge of sin. He had no knowledge of his own misery. He did not know who he had become. And he had not wrestled through the nights of discovering. Oh, he was just a happy man on the way to heaven. And then soon they are talking, and Christian is always pointing to the Word of God. That book is central in his life. He's not telling what he dreamed or what he saw in visions, but he's always pointing to the Word, to Scripture, to that book that he is carrying in his hand, and that he will by no way want to lose. And then you read several verses about that heavenly kingdom and about the beauty of that city to which they are traveling. And while they are talking about it and reading, they are not even aware of it, busily talking, they suddenly come in a place, a very muddy place, in the slough of despond, in an area where it is full of miry mud, and they don't see it. They're walking, and they don't even see that there are some steps, some stones in that field, but they have to cross it. It's the direction to the narrow gate, but suddenly then they feel their feet sinking, and both in a moment there, they get down in the mud, and when they wrestle to get out, it soon they are muddy all over, and it's awful to look at, and friends, then Pliable becomes a little bit angry. He says, "Now, how did we get into this mess?" And Christian says, "Truly, I don't know. Now, is this the happiness you promised me, of which you spoke? Now, you can keep it." And offended, he turns around and tries to get out of that mud, out of that slough, despond, and after much struggling, he climbs on firm, solid ground on the side of his house where he came from. That side. And he leaves, and Christian will never see him anymore. Just like Orpah began so promising, was so interested in the Word of God, just like the seed on stony ground began to spring up so quickly, and there were fruits, and there was interest, and there was an open invitation to hear more of it, and there was a clinging to God's people, and there was some taste of joy. But he turned around and went home again. There we see Christian struggling to also get his feet on solid ground. But the more he wrestles, the more he sinks. You know why? Why he couldn't come out? He had something on his neck that the other didn't have. A burden. And a burden puts him down. Whatever he does, whatever he tries, he cannot get out of it. Oh, friends, what does that mean? What is now that slough, this pond? What is now that miry clay there? Something is flowing there together. He will hear that later. Something is feeding that. Some workmen have worked on it for 1900 years or long, for a long time already. But it will always stay muddy and treacherous ground. The only way out is those stepping stones, but he doesn't see them. He didn't see them. And where does that come from? Well, that comes from the heart. That comes now from the heart of one who has been initially discovered of his horrible condition, and who is on the way to the celestial city, who is fleeing for his life's sake, who has received a little hope that there is a possibility for him, who has been encouraged by seeing some light, and who suddenly comes sooner or later, but pretty soon already, in that slough, despond, and in that miry clay, and begins to sink. What's that? What does it spring up in their heart? Or in that time they begin to flee, and they begin to shun away from the city of destruction, that is from sin and from the world, and from their former life. They can't stay there any longer. And they reform their life, but the more they try, there comes something in their heart that they never saw. It is as if the Lord begins to open up the mud here inside, and they're full of fear and full of doubts. Will they ever come to the end? And they hear the voice of Satan, "You will perish on this way. Here you will drown. There's no hope for you. No one ever was in such mud. Look at you are. You're muddy all over." There's the picture of a sinner who has been placed before the mirror of the law, and who begins to see that he's leprous all over, from the head to the sole of his feet, and who begins to despair of the possibility that there will be a place for him. Or it is the picture of a sinner whom Satan is trying to destroy, say, "There is no place for such a, there's no one here in the church tonight that is so muddy and as so dirty as you are. If the people could see what's in your heart, I'm sure there is no one who had ever such evil thoughts, and had even ever such blasphemy, and such terrible things coming up in his heart. You must be given up. There is no evangelist. You don't see him. There is no light anymore. You don't see anything but mud. And you don't feel anything but sinking deeper under the burden on your shoulder and your back. Oh, if there the Lord would not come to the rescue, that would indeed be the end. Because they have no strength in themselves to work them up out of that mud. But there are footsteps, and there is a man. His name is Help. Help. Helper. Oh, what he is, what he a picture is of, we don't know. Of anyone who may be an instrument in the hand of the Lord to help such sinking souls, maybe a minister, maybe an elder, maybe a child of God, maybe a simple person. There's just a simple name, Helper. Oh, I wish there would be many helpers. You know what a helper does? He comes up to him and says, what's the matter with you? What are you doing here? And then Christian says, yeah, what I'm doing. And he tells all what took place, how evangelist came and how he directed him to the narrow gate and how he did cross the plain and how he was talking with somebody and reading the scriptures, and before he knew he was sinking. And then Helper, he stretches out his hand and he pulls him out of that miry clay. He says, didn't you see those stones there? He had not seen them. Stepping stones. They were laid in that field, in that muddy field, for the traveler on the way to the narrow gate. They were laid there intentionally to keep them to keep them safe, to help them further, to keep them from sinking away in the mud. He had not seen them. You know, sometimes they're hard to see, those stepping stones. You know, especially when Bunyan says, or Pilgrim, he says, when the weather changes, when there's a change of weather, suddenly it becomes foggy, or begins to storm or rain, or sudden change of the weather, then the stepping stones may be hard to see and to detect. And yeah, friends, that is so true. When we are on the way, and we may have some hope in our hearts, but then it is often that there comes a change of the weather. What does he mean? Well, that is sudden change of circumstances, trials in your life, sickness, or by Bunyan, he came into the prison, his wife died, many trials, change of the weather, outside, also inside, yeah, that goes together. And then they don't see the stepping stones. What are those stepping stones? Helper speaks of those stones who are laid in that field to help the pilgrim on the way. Of stopping stones. He doesn't say, Helper, what did you do? And you're going the wrong way. You should have looked at it. And I will send you to an house of correction or improvement because you are not fit to travel this road. And you are too muddy now. At least you have to clean up. And you need also something in your hands. You need money. And you need money of merchandise in order to be welcome. No, he points him these are the stepping stones for a poor, struggling soul on the way that he doesn't know yet, but on the way to Jerusalem. Stepping stones. Or when there is fear in his heart, and when he would seem to sink, and there is that stone, a fear in his heart that he will not be welcome. And he looks at himself, and there is that stepping stone, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And when he sees the mud, and when he sees when he feels that burden, that big burden of sin, Oh, when he sees himself as nothing but sin, and Satan says you are to bed, then evangelist does not say you first have to, or help does not first say you have to improve yourself. You have to make yourself worthy. But, oh, there is a stepping stone that says he came not to call the righteous, but sinners as you are to repentance. Or another stone says the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanseth from all sin. Friends, there he stands again on solid ground. So far the Lord has helped him, but it was a narrow escape. We will first sing together. From 352, 352, and it's a collection, and you may also write down questions. Appreciate that. There are some questions, and try to answer them. 352, and there of all four stanzas, had not the Lord been Israel's help, when angry foes assailed, had not the Lord been on our side, our righteous cause had failed. And without his help, the waters proud had overwhelmed our soul. But also three, we are escaped, as from the snare. And what follows in 1, 2, 3, and 4 of 352. So we saw, friends, that the Lord sent a helper to the struggler on the way, and he didn't let him perish in the mud, how he feared for a while that he would never get out of it. And we leave him there now until the Lord willing the next time. And yeah, if there are those amongst us who are feeling that they could identify with themselves, with this man in the mud, and who also cannot get out of this mud anyway, any more than there's but one that can show us the stepping stones and point us to what he has spoken in his word. There is no other way through this muddy place than in the word of God. Now I have one question, but this is a very difficult one. So, I don't know, maybe I stumble right away already. Evangelist pointed right away to the light and the gate. That's what I said, and that's what was true. How can we understand that in regard to the Sundays 1 to 5 of the Heidelberg Catechism? And, well, I don't have to explain that to you, I think. You know that when we dealt with Lord's Day 5, then I said also in the sermon that we would have expected a different answer on the question, since then by this righteous judgment of God we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? So there is one who doesn't know the way, and then we would have expected an answer in the sense of, yes, there is the Lord Jesus. And now it seems that evangelist does so, because he points right away to the light and the gate. I think there is one thing that has been overlooked by the person who wrote this question, and that is that when you would have seen the man in his bed in the city of destruction, you would have seen him there with that book and walking there in the field in terror and not knowing where to turn. Well, I think that you have one who says, is there yet a way, but he doesn't know where to turn. The way also has not been revealed to him there. But when we see him, when evangelist comes, then he comes to him and he points him to the way when he cannot stay in that house any longer, when he, as it were, his heart has been inclined already to unconditionally follow him, whatever way of escape there may be. Now the way of escape in Lord's Day 5 must be a way in which we bow and learn to bow under God's righteous judgment. With other words, the Lord reveals that way or speaks of that way to one who knows that he is not worthy to receive a little instruction. And as long as a soul is in the workhouse and trying to make it up with the Lord and tries to with Moses and tries to help himself with Moses and live a better life, and that may last a long time by some or by others, and maybe in a moment that the Lord cuts that off. But here we have seen how all the excuses, all the ways out must first be cut off before the Lord points to that only way. I believe that pilgrim did not see a way out anymore. That he was not clinging to, there is a little possibility, there is a little possibility. Maybe there the Lord indeed waits until we have no way anymore. until all ways are cut off. And how necessary it is to know that the Lord doesn't say, now, here is an alternative for the way that you are trying, and I recommend this way is much better than the other way. No, he often lets the soul first run stuck with everything, and that he then asks, is there yet a way? And then the soul must understand in Lord's Day 5 that, yeah, there is a way, but that way that the Lord will show must be a way in which God's justice is satisfied. So he doesn't get a negative answer. He, in that question 12, he already gets a glimmer of hope, and maybe that the one who wrote the question overlooked that. In question 12, it says, God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. And when he speaks by another, there is another. That gives, as it were, that could give, if it would be seen who that is and what it is, it could give hope in the heart. It is not so that he says, God will have his justice satisfied and that's it. No, he says, we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. He says, with other words, if there is a way, it must be a way of satisfaction of the justice of God. It can only happen in the right way. And that is necessary that we learn to know that. But it does not mean, I said it also last week, that a preacher, this is now about the experiential leading, but that a preacher, an evangelist was a preacher, that a preacher must say by himself, I wait with pointing to the way of escape, I wait with pointing that there is a Savior, and I wait with preaching that there is a narrow gate, and I wait with proclaiming the gospel until I'm sure that a person is completely to the end. That is how the Lord, by his Spirit, makes the soul acceptable, or makes the soul receptive for it, and makes room for it. There's something else than the preaching. The evangelist is a preacher, and he has to point out the way. And sure, he is not a preacher who just says, now there's the narrow gate, you don't see it, that's your own fault. No, then he comes down. Then he comes down, and then he says, now, you don't see that, but maybe you see that light, and maybe you see the light that's shining there through that gate. And that he sees, that word of God is the light. And that word that gives some hope, as also Lord's Day 5 does. So I don't see any difference there. Only this difference, that when we speak about how the Lord in our heart makes room for it, that he waits until the soul has come to an end before he reveals that name, before he reveals that person. But evangelist or pilgrim is not right away standing before the narrow gate, no. But he hears in the word of God that there is yet hope, that there is yet a way of salvation. Now, when a soul in Lord's Day 4 or 5 is struggling to find some hope, then he may have heard in the word of God that there is a way. But a way is hidden for him, but it still gives him some hope. It gives him a glimmering of hope that keeps him from coming into despair. But now the Lord waits with revealing that gate, that person, Lord's Day 6, and pilgrim is not there, by far not, but he waits for revealing the person till he has come to an end with all his own efforts. So these are two different things. Are there more questions, or is this answer clear enough? At least I hope that it gives a little bit insight into how the Lord led this man, but also what the Lord does when his soul is struggling, you know. Then the old people of God, they were honest, and they did not build people up. They did not build them up in their chains and in their frames, and they did not say, "You are a good Christian." We don't read that evangelist that said either. He only pointed to that. That's the way you have to go. And I think each preacher has to do that time and again. That's the way you have to go. Oh, and when a soul is sinking under the weight of his sin, and Satan says this is the end, there's never been such a creature in the whole world as you are. And you feel you are sinking, you never get out of this mud anymore. Maybe tonight. Then the Lord sends at his time a helper. And maybe, a child that speaks to you. A child. Now I've heard of a child of God that was in deep despair, and a child was singing a psalm. Lag gekneld in banden van de dood. Maar als het in de next one, Psalm 116, compassed in the bonds of death. But also then the Lord heard my cry. You know, and a little word, just whoever the Lord uses for it, and maybe from the pulpit, it may also be your wife or your husband or a friend that you unburden to, and says there is yet hope for hopeless ones. Look at a stone, didn't you see that? And they may point to the stones in the Word of God. That Word is full of stones. Only when that weather changes, when we get into the storms, when we get into the trials, we often don't see it anymore. But they are there. And you know what I thought? Well, and then we stop. Well, I thought while meditating upon this, we have plenty teachers nowadays. Plenty people who will walk with a measuring stick too and say, "No, that's too short. That's too long." But there is so little of that loving helping. Oh, sure, then we must say, "How come you are here? Did you not look at the stones?" But then he stretches out his hand, and he is used by the Lord to help that struggling man out of the mud. And I think when the gazelle scoops the world in former days, then there was instruction also in regard to those stones. Then there was evangelical instruction, not building up. Stone was not the gate. The stone was by far not the celestial city, but they were there. And those stones were firm. The promises of God don't give way under the heaviest burdens. They lay there in that field as firm as a rock, because what the Lord has spoken will be fulfilled. And maybe I may tell one thing out of my own life tonight. And there were times that I could talk a lot more maybe about my own life. But friends, there is not much good to say. But everything of him. And then we don't come to an end if the Lord opens that up. But I think I was also sitting in church, but I was sinking in the mud. There was not one in that church in Wageningen who was so guilty as I was. There was not one who had such a burden on his shoulder as I was for myself. And God's justice against me. And how could I ever be saved? And the devil was right on me and said, "That's done with you. You will never be able to hear one word from the Lord." Not one little bit of comfort, not a ray of light. This is done. And I was just sitting there despondent. But didn't even hear what the elder was reading. He was reading the chapter. I will never forget. It was as if I woke up. And what I heard was this. For my sake. For my sake. I will do it. That was a stone. For my sake. Because if the Lord said, no, not you, I know. But for my sake, I will do it. There was a promise. Or I can tell you what it is to get some firm ground. No, it was not a narrow gate. It was not Christ. It was not the celestial city either, by far not. But there was a stepping stone. Or if there is a fearful worm of Jacob, fearful, trembling, for the wrath of God, and the devil says there is no hope for you anymore. You have committed too much sin against too much light and against too many convictions, and you are one who has sinned against the light, and that light will never come in your life anymore. Whatever he may say, but if then the Lord comes over and says, even if your sins were as red as crimson or as scarlet, oh, then the Lord says, then I will make them white as wool. A promise can also be applied as something else, but then you hear that even for those who are, and then you hear about a leper Sunday morning, full of leprosy, and you may say, that's me. And you may then hear something, I'm willing to look at such a people, friends, then there is a stone there. And oh, when the Lord enlightens your eyes, then there are times, then you see for a while many stones in that word. Then it is like the Lord lifts them up and they begin to pop out, as it were in that word, you see. Oh, you say, I never saw them. So many. When the weather is good, when the sun shines, when you get some direction, you see them. Maybe an hour later or a day later, the weather changes. You don't see them so easily anymore. And you need that helper perhaps again. Well, friends, I hope that there may be some who are helpers for others, not masters, not those who pass a hasty judgment, but those who may reach a hand and correct them if necessary and direct them to the stones, to that word, always to the word, not to themselves. Not did you ever feel that, not but did you not have that at that time? And did you not cry? And no, always pointing to not the sandy ground of feelings or what you experienced, but to the word of God, what the Lord says. He cannot lie. And if that stone may be felt, that's firm. The feelings, they waver, they sink, they go up and down. But that's what the Lord has said, you know. Oh, and there may come weather changes that you don't see anything, but those stones stay there all the while until you may come closer to that city, there the ground becomes firmer. There you may come more on solid ground. But we hope to hear that another time. I wish that there would be many strugglers who could not live in city of destruction anymore, that there will be more than pliables by those who say, no, away world, away with your treasures. Because, no, you cannot understand what there is, what I saw for a moment of the happiness of God's people. And, yeah, we cannot all become minister, but people of God, you may be a helper for a struggling soul. We will close with singing and with prayer, and then we go home again. 3:34. 3:34. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light it guides my feet, and in my distress I plead with thee. Send help according to thy word. There you have that stone, according to thy word. 1, 2, 3, and 4 of 3:34. From the journey, from the pilgrim's journey of Christian, and where he came and how he was helped out. Or we have heard how he had been directed to that way, and also the Catechism does so. That directs to another, not to ourselves. That directs to one who must be a righteous and a very man, and also truly very God. But it points to another. Yes, there is a way. Although we don't see the purse and don't see the gate, but there is a way. There is light. It is not hopeless from thy side. From our side, then there is no hope anymore. That we must sink away forever. But Lord, thou wilt finish perfectly what thou for them hast undertaken. We commend each other unto thee, Lord, and all we ask thee, may many yet be awakened, that they could not stay any longer in this city of destruction, that they will be reading that word and looking where to turn. Then there will be direction at thy time, and thou knowest what the best time is. Oh, experientially it will be experienced, personally, when all our ways are cut off. Thy servants have to bring the word to everyone, but thy Spirit will bring it inside at the right time. Lord, well done, remember us. Give that there might be those who might be a hand or a foot, a helping, outstretched hand toward those who are sinking away under the burden of doubts and fears and the terrors of their sins. Oh, thou give them to point to that word, that speaks, that there is laid help upon one that is mighty, who is able, who is willing to save to the uttermost. Lord, convert us unto thee, and give that many may become true companions, not like pliable for a little while, not as a morning cloud that disappears, not as an Orpah who returned, not like the seed on stony ground that sprung up but it was burned because it had no root. O Lord, give that many true companions may yet learn to join this Christian, as it has happened throughout all times and ages, that there may be an answer to the call, come, go with me. Lord, that we may say that more often, that we may say that to our children, come, go along with me, to our wives and husbands, to our congregation, that there may be something alluring in our walk and talk, and something to make even pliables jealous. Lord, there is so much fighting, strife, hardness, coldness, dryness, barrenness, maintaining self instead of that alluring testimony. May we be ministers of the gospel, bringers of good tidings, and follow in the steps of this Christian. Bring us now safely home. Give us what we need also the coming Sabbath. Also when we are away, Lord, help the brothers in reading and the brothers student in speaking here in our congregation. Spread out thy wings over us and our loved ones, and glorify the free and sovereign grace of thy Son and his work in our hearts, we ask thee, in the forgiveness of our sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Good night, friends.